guest speaker this morning. He's been a pastor for many years, as well as a seminary professor and a dean at Western Seminary down in San Jose, and was one of my professors as well. And so you can blame him for any poor preaching that I do. And he'll also be our speaker. He'll be coming to visit with us a couple more times as well. And he'll be actually the youth speaker for our retreat this year. So teenagers are getting a preview. So would you welcome up Pastor Steve Kors?
This may be the make or break on whether you go to camp, right? I mean, to the retreat. You know, you may say, take my name off on that one. So we'll watch what's happening back there. It's great to see your faces again. I mean, it really is, because I turned around when we started and there were none. So this will be really interesting here. I'm going to be talking to two people over here, one over here and one back there. But it's good, y'all. You know, somehow you've got it worked out to where you know when you want to come and all. I mean, that's, yeah. And I am enjoying Josh's new look. You know. You know, pretty cool. One of the things you'll notice is that I'm not here with my wife this morning. Ruthie stayed. I know, it's a bummer. Driving up by myself, you know, and all that. But it's because there are some other things I need to do this afternoon. I'll be up in the city. And she thought, you know, a whole day of just following me around was not a good thing. So so she stayed home. But now, one of the neat things about that is, though, when she's not here, I get to brag on her more. Because when I start talking about her, she's sitting up here, she's going, you know, this guy. But she's not here, so I can talk all I want about her. So, you know that she's an artist. Okay, you know, if you remember, she's an artist, she's an outstanding artist. She's, I mean, go on and on with this. Two of the latest things, these are just cool things. Just here, 2 weeks ago, something like that, we received a notice that she is a finalist in one of these big international art competitions. Okay. I'm married to that gal. And another thing that happened just like the week before that, the city of Capitola chose one of her art pieces to be their poster this year for the Begonia Festival. So, I'm just going, wow, and those are just two of the latest things. Cool stuff. So I'm excited about her. We're a pretty artsy family. You know, I'm married to an artist. I have daughters that are into this thing. I like to think of myself somewhat as an artist, you know. If nothing else, I'm hanging out with artists, you know. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. I like, you know, I talk about doing word art. I mean, somehow I make myself, you know, yeah, we're all together. We're artists, you know. And when we go someplace, you can pretty much be assured that somehow we're going to make ourselves, you know, make our way into like the art museums and, you know, artsy kinds of things. You know, we'll find our way around. We went to the San Jose Film Festival this year. I didn't even know they had one. But we got these, you know, special tickets where you get in with all the artsy people, you know, hang out with them. So we kind of had to dress artsy and all that. I mean, we had a great time with it. A few years ago, we had the opportunity to be in Paris. Okay. Oh. But you can imagine, I mean, that's kind of like art center of the world to some extent. Okay. You know, you've got the Louvre, you've got the D'Orsay. I mean, if you're into art, I mean, this is kind of, within just a matter of a few blocks, I mean, you can just live there, and some do. In going though, we got this great insight. Now, if you're planning to go, maybe you already know this. If you've been there, you know this. If you're planning ever to go and you want to see the art museums, this is worth being here this morning, just to know this. Okay. There's this thing that's just simply called the museum pass. Sounds pretty whatever. It is worth gold. Okay. One price gets you into everything. All the art museums, the cathedrals, whatever. Okay. And that's one thing. But here's the coolest piece. If you have a museum pass, you never have to wait in a line. Okay. Now, maybe some of you, I don't know, maybe you're weird, and you love waiting in line. You know, I mean, kind of hang out with people, get to know, make new relationships, I mean, whatever it is, okay? But for most of us, okay, normal people, we don't like to wait, okay? And not many people know about the museum pass. So one of our fun things was, I mean, we go like the Louvre. I mean, the line goes out and down. You know, it goes, you can't, I mean, you're walking for blocks to find the end of the line. Okay, to get in. Museum pass. So part of the fun, I mean, my wife was not real thrilled on this, but part of the fun for me was just kind of, hi, excuse me, hi. All the way to the front of the line, the people in the front, you know, they oh, museum pass, right this way, you know, and you're right in front of everybody. Okay? Now, we were there, I mean, it was one of those really hot times of year like this, so people are waiting out, and they're not happy to see you. Because they're waiting in this line, it's barely moving, all this kind of stuff, and then you just kind of go sailing by, museum pass. Here's the deal. Wouldn't it be cool if you could get the equivalent to the museum pass for life? So you never had to wait. Because reality is, we all have lives that are filled with waiting. There is no one in this room who is not waiting through a whole pack of stuff. Okay? We're always in this mode of waiting and waiting and waiting. Life is just filled with waiting. Okay? You know, I've lived long enough to realize that God has absolutely no concern for my time. Okay? I want life to keep moving. I want to get on to the next thing. And it's like God, you know, He just doesn't care. Okay? Time just does not, my time in particular, does not matter to Him. Okay? And I thought maybe I was, unusual. But I go into the scriptures, right? Go into the scriptures, and you find they all had to wait. Okay? Everybody's waiting. So, here's some examples. Okay, you go through the scriptures, see if these sound. Now, instead of putting them in years, because years kind of don't have the impact of the kind of lives we live, let me put it in terminology that we get a hold of. Days. Okay? Jacob waited for the girl of his dreams, Rachel, for 2,700 and some days. Okay? Days. Sarah waited for a child for over 27,000 days. That was, God had promised her a child. I wonder how many mornings she got up and said, God, what gives? What's the deal? Moses waited in the desert for over 15,000 days. Joseph waited in prison for over 1,000 days. David, after he had already been told that he was the next king, waited in caves for over 5,000 days. This is a guy with promises. I wonder how many mornings he got up and thought, what's a promise from God worth? I mean, look at where I am. The woman with the hemorrhage, remember her? Over 4,000 days she lived with that, pleading with God. You can go on and on. Mary Magdalene, over 5,000 days, tormented by demons. Days where you get up over and over again every day and wonder, when? Waiting is an inescapable part of life. Everyone in this room is waiting through something. Now, I use that term intentionally. It's not just a matter of waiting for things, but you're waiting through things. I want you to take a moment and think about what you're waiting through right now. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. I just want you to pick one. Okay? I mean, you probably got a whole menu you can draw from. Pick one that rises up. What are you waiting through? Having a hard time picking? Some of you are probably waiting through health issues. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's someone else that you love, and you're waiting through this time of health issues. Maybe it's occupational uncertainty. Lost your job, losing your job, looking for a job, whatever it is, and you have no idea what's going on. Maybe it's financial distress. Here's one. Maybe it's difficult people. I see grins.
Oh, I've got those.
Okay. People in your life that they're just plain difficult people, okay? And you have to live with them. Could be in your family, could be where you work. I mean somehow people that are now in your life and you have to somehow endure that. And maybe you're waiting for the day that they just simply go away. But most often they're there pretty much permanently. Okay. And you're wading through this. Perhaps you're single and waiting for the right person. Perhaps life is just confusing for you and you're waiting for something that just simply makes sense. But you're waiting. Waiting is an inescapable part of life. I found that when I ask people, you know, the question, okay, what's God teaching you? Number one answer, okay, almost a default answer. It's almost Pavlovian, okay? If I ask it, this is what comes out, okay? What's God teaching you? Patience. Okay? Now, whether it is or true, whether it's true or not, it's still this idea that we look at our life and we just think of all these things we're wading through, and obviously God must be teaching me patience here, okay? Because our life is just loaded that way. Wading through things. Well, what I'd like to do this morning is take us into a place in Scripture that gives us some insight into how to wait. Because if you're hoping that someday the waiting ends, got news. Okay. That day is not coming in this life. Okay. So you need to get over that. The issue is, how do you wait through what is part of your life? And we get insight that comes from a distant voice, from a prayer that Paul prayed for other believers. And actually recorded it in a letter that was sent. Okay, Colossians. Got your Bible? Colossians chapter 1 starts in verse 9. Now, because we're all waiting, I mean, you really want to see this, okay? So if you got a Bible, you need to look at this, because this may be the make or break for you here. Okay? Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Listen to what it said here. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Now, I mean, that's just loaded with cool stuff. You know, we can just kind of land here and just, you know, be here for days, you know, kind of, you know, order food in and we'll just, you know, just stay here. But as you read, you know, through that with me, there should have been one verse that kind of popped in light of this whole idea of waiting. Okay, and it's verse 11. Okay, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. It almost sounds like that's a museum card. It almost sounds like, okay, here's my this is what I've been waiting for. I wanted this verse here, and if I write it out and carry it around with me, maybe that'll do it. Okay, I'll get to the head of the line in all these things in my life. It's not. But it does give us insight. Okay, you look at this, and this is giving us what we're after here. So let's take a moment and look at it. As you start with this, it starts out by saying, strengthened with all power. That's my translation. I don't know what you got going with yours. But it's kind of an interesting terminology here. Because the word that is used here, in fact, it's the same word that's used twice. It could be translated like this, strengthened with all strength, or empowered with all power. So the same word, used twice. But it's a word here that describes potential power. Okay? Not actual, potential. It's real. It's a real thing. But it's potential. In other words, there needs to be a switch that gets flipped on. Something has to be done to activate it. It's not automatic. Which is why it shows up in the prayer. If it was automatic, why pray about it? Okay. But instead, he's praying here, you might say, that we would flip the switch on. Okay. Strengthened with all strength. Empowered with all power. And then it says, according to this glorious might of God. Okay, see that next? Now that's a different word, might. Because that word is a word that describes active power. You see where it's going on this? So I'm praying that you will flip the switch on so that it will connect to the live wire. Okay? The power. So that it comes alive. It happens. Okay? And in happening, here's what's going to come out of it, he says. For the attaining, in other words, for actually experiencing the reality of all steadfastness and patience. I mean, the full deal. Not just sort of, but the whole deal. He prays, I pray that you will flip the switches on. Connect to this incredible power of God and experience a different kind of waiting. And it comes out in two words here, which is interesting. He uses two words: steadfastness and patience. Again, that's my translation. I don't know what you got. We're going to mess it up anyway. Because the first word is a word that relates to waiting through circumstances. Okay? Steadfastness. Okay, it's a word that literally means to remain under something. Okay, it kind of captures the imagery of life when it kind of comes and does this to you. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Do I need to explain it more? Okay,
yes.
More?
Yes.
You get the idea, right? I mean, we've all been in this thing. We know what we're talking about here. When life just seems to kind of come and just go just like this on you, and you're thinking, what? Did I do something wrong? You know? And life is there. And yet he's praying that somehow that we'd be able to flip the switches on so that we would be able to wait through that time when life is coming down heavy. Okay? Pretty cool, huh? Next word, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That word has to do with waiting through relational issues. Okay, it's used most often to describe putting up with somebody, enduring people that are difficult people. Got those in your life? If you don't, I have some I can share with you. You're surrounded with people who know others like this. Okay. Hopefully you're not one of those, by the way. that's another passage. We'll get into that, talk about that some other time. But we all have this stuff. We have people that are just, it's like, how come I got this set of people around me here? Maybe you're related to some. Maybe, they come in all sorts of forms. But it's this idea of waiting through those relationships. Because some of those, I mean, particularly those who are family members, you got those for life, guys. Okay? And there's a different kind of waiting that he's talking about here that allows you to do this with grace rather than this kind of deal. Or that kind, whatever it is, He's saying we want to flip the switches on so that you will actually connect to the power that allows for a different kind of waiting, whether it's through circumstances or through relational issues. Whatever it is that's in your life covers the whole shot. I don't think can't think of anything that falls outside of those two categories. Okay? So you go, cool. How do you do that? How do you flip the switch on? It's one thing if you just take the verse out and say, well, here's an idea, Blessings on you. See ya. But I believe the switches are located in the other verses we read. Okay? I think there's one switch in each of the two verses ahead of it and one that follows it. Take a look. If you back up to verse 9. Okay? I want to just lift one phrase out of it. I mean, there's so much here, and we don't have the time to do all of this here. So I want you to just notice one thing he prays for here that I believe is where one of the switches is found. He says that he prays that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Okay, then he kind of qualifies it, you know, or amplifies it, whatever you want to say. You know, so there's this wisdom and understanding that comes. Being filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, yeah, that'd make way too easy. I mean, if I knew exactly what God had in store and where this was all going, I mean, it's cool, okay? But that's not what it's talking about here. You know, God has no intention, by the way, of queuing you up on all the things coming down the pike for you, okay? So that you don't have to live by faith anymore. You know, it's kind of this idea of, okay, I'm going to take care of it. Here's the next thing coming, by the way. And that person you're looking for to marry, it's that one over there, okay? That ain't going to happen. But instead, the idea of what he's talking about here, being filled with the knowledge of his will, is this idea of gaining an understanding of the bigger picture of what's going on, of God's story as it's unfolding, and that brings and informs your story with wisdom and insight. So when we can see the bigger picture, the more we have an understanding of what God is doing and how this story is unfolding, the more it dramatically shifts how we go through the things that we're waiting through. The idea is that there's something bigger going on. I know that for me, when I'm thinking straight, that makes a huge difference for me. When I can remind myself there's something bigger going on here. Okay? That it's not just this little set of circumstances that I live with here, but there's something else that's going on in all of this. Let me give you a picture of what I'm talking about. I have three grandsons now. Did I say that last time? Okay. I'll be saying it every time I come. Until there's four or something like that. I'll just keep going. Okay. I have three guys. The oldest one is two. Now, a little over two in a few months. Okay. He's at the stage, I just really enjoy him. I think prior to that, it's a girl thing. My youngest one is 6 months or something like that now. And it's still at that stage where it's kind of this. Okay. And for guys, this only lasts so long. Okay? It's like, yeah, there he is. Here you go. Okay. As opposed to Ruthie, my wife, you know, she can sit there and rock one of those babies for hours. And just, you know, there's nothing better this side of heaven. I mean, it's just cool. Okay? I'm thinking, you go, girl. But Sammy's fun now. Okay, I mean, he's jabbering all over the place, and he kind of has this little walk thing he does. He talks like Yoda. What this is, it's kind of weird. But it's fun, okay? And has all sorts of questions. He's just at that front end of all the question things. And we were out a few weeks ago walking in front of his house. And it's fun to kind of drop new things on him because, there's something happens when something new gets dropped on. So we're walking along, and I said, Sammy, do you know that streets have names? Okay. Now think, okay, two-year-old, okay, this is a new concept. Because people have names. Cars have names. Streets have names? Yeah, by the way, yes, for him, cars have names. But we're walking along, we say, streets have names. And so we're walking along, and he does what we call a Sammy moment. Are you ready for this? He goes, he's not looking at me. He's just looking out into space. Stops, and for about 30 seconds, the world comes to a stop. Okay? Everything stops. I think time stops. Sound stops. Everything stops. Well, he just kind of... and processes this. And it's about 30 seconds, and then we're back on. Okay? Now, the thing is, though, every time this happens, you'll find out immediately that he gets it. Okay? Because we walked about five steps, and he points where his street name is. Points to one of the streets. Okay? Street name. Okay? Walk a little far. Street name is. Okay? So now he gets it. Now he's making it work for him. Okay? Now, what I didn't do was give him the detail that driveways are not streets. And so every driveway to him was a street, so he wanted to name streets. So we came up with names for the streets. So Bill and Joe and, this one, Susie, trying to invent all sorts. And the thing is, he remembered them all coming back, Everything had names. But what he's talking about, what Paul's writing to these people and saying is, he's asking, praying that they would have Sammy moments spiritually, okay? Where it would break on them that, what God is doing, this bigger picture, and have them go, oh. And then getting that they would start to take their story with all of its stuff and drop it into this. And it changes it. Now, think for a moment. Okay, I want you to think again of that thing you're wading through. Okay? The one you chose. What difference would it make in the midst of your waiting to just remind yourself daily or however long it takes, however often, there's something bigger going on here? Do you see how that would make a difference? When you can take your stuff and put it into something bigger. There's something else going on. It's not just what's happening with me. There's something big. There's a story that is unfolding, God's story, and my piece is just a piece of it. Okay. Let's go a bit farther. Another switch comes out of verse 10. And again, there's a whole bunch here, but I just want to lift one phrase out of it. Okay. And the phrase is to please Him in all respects. And that's the phrase I want to lift. To please Him in all respects. Kind of the idea with this thing is, we use the phrase or the terminology a lot, it's not about me. Okay, I mean, we use that all the time. Okay, in fact, we use it so much that just we don't even hear it anymore. If someone says, hey, it's not about you, we go, yeah, whatever. Because it doesn't kick. Okay, but that's the idea that's in this thing. He's praying that as they start, as they continue moving through life, that their goal would be not to please themselves, but to please God. To find what it is that delights God. In fact, Paul prays that, or encourages that in, I'll get whatever it is out of my eye here. In Ephesians? Where he instructs them, learn what is pleasing to the Lord, okay, and factor it into their life. Okay? It's that idea of discovering what it is that lights up the heart of God. So that as we're going through these things, the situations in life where we're wading through this, that our goal is not simply to please me, which is I want to get through this thing, I want to get on to the next thing, I'll feel better about it. But rather, in the midst of that, what would please God most? What would light up God's heart in the midst of this? I'll give you another picture here. One of my heroes. It's a guy that I'd say he's probably right around my age. He lives up in the Portland area. And his wife has one of these degenerative diseases. I don't know which version of it she's got. But it's one of these things where she will never get over it. I mean, this is with her for life. She will never recover from this. And every day is a tick down. Okay, we're marching toward a day when it's over. And this has been going on for years. And so every day is just one type of thing. And they're waiting through this. Okay, not waiting for some miraculous drug to show up or whatever. They're not even imposing on God that He do something and waiting for Him to pull off a miracle. They're not trying to pull that number. Instead, in the midst of it, they're trying to be faithful believers walking through this thing. Now, here's the cool part. This is what makes him a hero for me. Well, a bunch of things, but this is one of them. He's been doing this for years. Every morning, as they start their day, he gets his wife's full attention. Okay, it's become a ritual in their home. Gets his wife's full attention, eyeball to eyeball. And tells her once again, not just that he loves her, does that too. But he tells her, somehow today, I'm going to do something that makes your day. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a cool thing? I would love to have somebody do that for me every single day. I don't care who it is. But to me, that is the coolest thing. So I'm going to do something today. I don't know what it is yet. But somehow today, I'm going to do something that just makes your day. That's my goal in life today. Wow. Now, think of this. What would it be like if you launched each day and torqued that statement a little bit and directed it to God? God, somehow today, I don't know what it is I'm going to do yet, but somehow today, I want to make your day. In other words, I want to do something that somehow delights you. I want something to show up in my day that when you look at me, you go, yes, that's my child. Yes. That's what I'm looking for. Like, you see how that just totally orients your day differently? If you start out saying, for one thing, there's a bigger picture going on, and my piece fits into this somehow. I don't know how, but it fits into this. There's something bigger happening. And then if you add to this thing the whole idea that it's not about me. It really is about pleasing God, but put it into terminology that really kicks for you here. So it's not just an idea in your head, and you get to the end of the day and say, I don't know. But rather, having it become something that has been articulated at the beginning of the day, and you're watching for how that's going to show up. Now, bring your thought back to mind again. Okay. What is it you're waiting through? Okay, bring it back up and ask yourself, what difference would it make if I approach life this way? If what I'm waiting through had this factored into it, where in the midst of my waiting, I'm not saying, God, is it today this ends? But rather, God, in the midst of this, somehow today, I'm going to make your day. Change it. It's working, huh? You like where it's going? I do. I'm excited. I should be taking notes. Okay, there's one more switch. Okay. And to get the last one, you need to jump over our main verse. Okay. And you come down to verse 12. And the phrase I want you to notice on this is the very opening words. You actually pick up the last word out of verse 11 and drop it into this. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. I believe what he's praying for here is not just kind of have a light spirit as you're going through it. But rather it's this idea that God is faithful in the midst of this. I think so often we get caught up in the, you know, our waiting for something to end or for something to come or for something to be different that we miss what God's doing now, what's happening now, the faithfulness of God now in the midst of it. And one of the switches that makes this thing work is this idea of looking for that, watching for the faithfulness of God, watching for the goodness of God, and choosing right out of the chute that you're going to call attention to that and joyously give thanks. I see that, God. Didn't get past me on that one. I see this and this. I'm watching for it. One more picture here. Let me drop this in. Back here. What was that? Actually, okay. Cool. back here, I don't know, a year, maybe? I don't know how long it's been. Maybe it's been a year. I became aware of this rabbi in Southern California, Jewish rabbi in Silicon Valley. Is there any other kind of? Okay, Jewish rabbi. Well, this one's a little different because it's a woman. Okay, so I mean, that kind of makes it a little bit unusual. But beyond that, she also has the largest gathering of 20-somethings of any Jewish community, synagogue, or whatever, in Southern California. It's huge. It's kind of like their version of a bit of the emergent church and I mean, all this kind of stuff. It's all 20-somethings. Okay, this big gathering. In fact, you can download kind of their service. It sounds kind of like what we do. Okay, I mean, that same kind of format. I mean, they've got some really popping music and stuff like that. It's just all about Jewish stuff. So, Jesus doesn't show up in it, but I mean, God does. But I mean, Jesus doesn't. And you know, they'll do the talk. I mean, all this kind of stuff. Okay, so it's kind of interesting. But she, I heard an interview with her, and she is one sharp, sharp gal. Great insight into life. You don't want to blow this gal off. Her name's Sharon Brous. And in this interview I heard, she dropped, I took notes all the way through it because it's so good. But this one thing she said, I am aware of the fact that when we gather together, when I have this community of people here, and I'm looking into their faces, so I'm aware that they all come, this is her terminology, with a profound sense of the absent. A profound sense of the absent. Here's what she was talking about. That all these people come in consciously and very much aware of all the things that are not in their life, of all the things they're missing out on, of all the things that have been taken away from them, of all the ways that life is bad news, okay? A profound sense of the absent, all the things missing from their life that they think that if they had those things, life would be okay. Isn't that an interesting thing? I don't think her congregation is different from most of us when we gather. And she said, her way, of approaching this, she said, my role is to somehow bring into that absence a sense of what is present. I thought, she's right on track. She's dead on track. It's just that she's missing one of the key pieces. The key piece. In the midst of it, that's why this verse is so significant in flipping the switch on. Because usually when we're wading through something, one of the dominant thoughts is there's something missing or being taken away or something that isn't here that should be here. And if I could just have that, things would be good. And this verse trumps it. No. In the midst of what you're wading through, you'd be watching for the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, His work there, and choosing place your attention on that and joyously give thanks and switch it. Now, think of your situation again. Okay, the one that you've been revisiting throughout this. Okay. Bring it there again. What difference would it make as you wait through that if you were to consciously look for the goodness and faithfulness of God today? So that you're not looking for what's missing, but for what's present. So here's the deal. Waiting is an inescapable part of life. It will always be there till your dying breath. And even then, you'll wait for the last breath so that you can step into the next. So it's not a matter of somehow being able to eliminate waiting. The issue is how you wait. And God has promised, I believe that's actually in this thing. That's why Paul prays for it. God has supplied the power for us to actually wait through things. And it's not something that happens just automatically. It's not there. Instead, it's a matter of choosing to take our story and put it into His. It's a matter of choosing for us to refocus this thing. So it's not about me. It's about Him. It's a matter of choosing to look for His faithfulness and goodness in the midst of things. and the switches get flipped on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time here and the privilege that we have of walking through this life with you. Father, as we're here this morning, we're not asking that somehow you eliminate the waiting. We're not looking for a museum card for life. Instead, Father, we are looking for you to actually supply that actual power that we're looking for as we flip those switches, as we choose to look to you in the ways we've described here this morning. And we're going to count on you, Father, to do exactly what you said you would. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.